looked at the godly behavior of older men as the gospel of Jesus Christ began to transform their lives. Younger men ought to learn from older men how to be godly and live for the Lord. Younger women are instructed to learn from older women, older godly women. And today's message is about the beauty of older godly women. Titus chapter 2, if you take your Bible and turn there, please. Titus chapter 2. The beauty of holiness in older women. Remember, we live in a culture that teaches not to trust anyone over 30 years of age because all those older people are so stupid. You know, at 17 years of age, you figured it all out, right? And then as you grew, you realized you knew very little, if hardly anything at all. And as you get to learn and grow about the things of God, God will begin to show you just how really small you are before Him. In awe of God. If you're not in awe of God, if you've lost the awe of God, A-W-E, you need to ask Him to give it back to you. The Creator of heaven and earth, the one who formed you in your mother's womb. He formed you as a male or a female. And He doesn't want you to change that, by the way, which you really can anyways. And He made you for His own glory as a male or a female. This goes to the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter is God at the heart. And we were all born into sin, and sin was passed down on us. We have a sin nature, and therefore we're prone to sin. We're prone to move away from God. And so God, knowing that man full of sin needed salvation, and He sent His Son, Jesus, God in human flesh, to live a sinless and perfect life, born like nobody else through a virgin. You say that's impossible. Yes, that's the point. But with God, all things are possible. Formed in the virgin's womb, Mary, who had other children later with Joseph, we know, married. Jesus lived a sinless and perfect life, died on the cross for our sins, was dead for 3 days. His spirit was not in His body. It was with the Father. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. After 3 days, His spirit re-entered His dead body. He stood up and He walked out of the grave. We're going to celebrate that next week, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. These older godly women have, over a prolonged period of time, have so focused on the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that it has begun to transform all of their life. The transformation of the whole life is called holiness. Holiness. Their behavior was not to be like the Cretans that Paul was told Timothy to go in that island of Crete where they were all liars by way of culture. They believed they came from Zeus, who didn't even exist, and the bull jumping that went on, still going on in different places of the world today, was a symbol that man is actually stronger than beast. And, as long as you can conquer beasts, you'll be greater than them. Well, folks, we were not made as a higher animal. We were made as male and female in the image of God. We are not a advanced evolutionary stage of monkeys. That's a lie. And that's where disgrace amongst the races comes in evolution. So let's go right back to the Bible and be esteemed where God wants us to be. In cultures today, women are degraded to simply be sex symbols. And once they're past that certain age of sexual attraction, then they should be discarded. That is sad. Really, really sad. And so the Bible comes along and professes what is truly beautiful, and that is the development of a character into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Older godly women, the beauty of holiness is our message today. In Proverbs 31:10, the Bible says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." More than to be discarded from the world or getting another wife of a younger age, which sometimes the filthiness of our culture would dictate, wise men see the beauty of holiness in a wife that will serve the Lord. We don't do good works to get saved, but when Christ becomes our salvation, He begins to work through us, and He does a good work. So we're to work out our salvation, not work for it, but the fact that we have believed upon Christ in our heart is to begin to work its way out in all of the relationships in our life. It's the Holy Spirit transforming the believer inwardly and displaying the life of Christ outwardly through good works. Character transformation into the likeness of Christ is promised and will be prized as one's highest desire. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, I think you have the theme of the whole book. Look at Titus 2:14. Talking about Jesus Christ, who is the great God and our Savior. Verse 14 of Titus chapter 2, who gave Himself for us, that's on the cross, for our sins, that He might redeem us from all iniquity. Man, that's the iniquity, the exceeding sinfulness of sin. He came to purchase us out of the slave market of sin and set us free to serve Him. That's what redeemed means. Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed how? By the blood of the Lamb. And then we see this not only in redeem us from all iniquity and to purify unto Himself a peculiar or special people, a unique people, who are zealous of good works. So we're saved, and God wants to just remove all the effects of sin out of our life, the practices of sin, and He's working on that to be a special people to Himself. And these people will manifest the life of Jesus Christ through good works. So that's where good works begin. Good works begin, according to God, after Jesus comes in. After Jesus comes in. Because Jesus is the one who does the good work. So today's title, we were picking on the older men last week. Not really, we were actually honoring them. You can get that message if you'd like. There's a CD on the back of the table there. Take it and listen to it. The desire of God is that older men actually lead the churches. And particularly those elders, a speaking elder, be leading the church. And of course, that would be me. These are to be older men, and sometimes younger men takes the office of pastor, and they have to mature along the way too. By the way, I'm not through maturing either, just to let you know. There's still room for improvement. Don't say amen too hard there, but it's true. It's true. It always makes you nervous when you get a hearty amen on one of those. You know? But these are mature men in godliness, and it became that way by continually appropriating the grace of God in the situations that they encounter in life. Older men should show the dignity of their station in life through loving others as they patiently work and pray for the growth of other believers and the salvation of unbelievers. They're particularly challenged to quit. The older men in a church are particularly challenged to quit. But instead, they continue to practice faith in God. They are not flawless. They do fail at times. But they will be faithful to come back to dependence on God. And the older women are to follow suit with that. Men are supposed to be leading. Older men particularly. And did we remember what the age was of what Paul said was older men, if you qualify to be an older man? What was the age, anybody? It's 50 years of age. And I said last week, how many of you guys over 50 years of age, you ought to be leading in the church, leading older women toward godliness, leading young men toward godliness and younger ladies? And then I said, this week we'll ask how many ladies are over 50. And I said, we better not ask that question. Some of them won't be happy about it. So we're just going to pass on it. So if you're over 50 years of age today, you're one of the older women in the Bible. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that we're to hold up the shield of faith when Satan attacks us. That means Satan attacks us. He attacks our heart and our mind with fears and lies. And what frees you from fears and lies? The truth frees you from fears and lies. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, Jesus said. Jesus is the truth. You, these older women learn, like older men, to immediately appropriate what they know to be true of God. And this is to pass down into the younger generations. What we know to be true about God is love, God is true, God is holy, and He gave His Son for you. I love that, don't you? God is love, God is true, God is holy, and He gave His Son for you. I love it. So the desire of God is that all sinners would be saved and transformed into the likeness of His Son. That's the desire of God. Does God always get His way? Nope, apparently not. Does God have a desired will? Yes. Ultimately, will God have His way in all things? Answer, He will, because He's God. But there is that desire of God, I can't imagine, that He does not have the hearts of men and women. Through faith in Jesus Christ, this is why He created us, so that He can have eternal fellowship with us. God wants to be around us. That's amazing, isn't it? You ever met somebody, they just don't want to be around you? God wants to be around us. He wants to walk with us and talk with us. Tell us He loves us and say, well, you know, you sinned there. That's not what I wanted, so ask forgiveness and let's get back in fellowship with one another. The beauty of holiness is that we get to walk and talk with God as though we're His own children. And the beauty of holiness in older women is described here in Titus chapter 2 and verse 3. Look at it, if you will, Titus chapter 2 and verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they, Paul, this is Titus teaching, Paul telling Titus to teach that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good thing. So you have two positives there and you have two negatives. He'll go on to teach younger men and younger women. Teaching younger men, grow up. Teaching younger women, have some sense about yourself. Because when you're married and have children, you got a husband, you got children, you might lose your sense along the way. You're going to be challenged and lose some sense. And that's what it's actually teaching here. Older women or to help younger women have some spiritual sense about them. We're to love and respect one another in all relationships. Paul wrote to Timothy, the other young minister, Timothy 1:5-2. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. Put it in the question form. Don't go around telling older men what to do. That shows pride and ignorance in your life. You put it in a question form. As the younger men, as brethren, treat guys your age, younger guys, as brothers. The elder women as mothers. That's assuming that you treat your mother well, by the way. And the younger women as sisters. And here's with all purity in your relationship. Father, we ask that You open the Word to us today by Your Spirit. I yield myself to You, Lord, that You might be our teacher. I'm going to minister to the people, dear Lord, with the ability that You give, that God in all things might be glorified through Jesus Christ. So, Lord, take over now, we pray. Have open hearts to Your Word in Jesus' name. Amen. So he starts in verse 3 here with the word likewise. These aged or older women, I would imagine, are around the same age as the older men. That'd be 50 years of age. Some of these stage of life for these women, their children would be 18 or past 18 years of age. Maybe already left the house for a trade or a business or college or an apprenticeship, a sailor or a soldier. The Roman culture was legal it was legal to abandon a child in the night. If you had a baby and you wanted a boy and you got a girl, or you wanted a girl and got a boy, or some defect in the child or whatever it might be, you might just leave the kid on the street. And that was legal to do. Isn't that terrible, folks? Yes or no? Just leave the child on the street. But these believing older women, whose own children were probably raised and gone, would go out at night and rescue these children. Greedy predators were also looking for these children. Listen to this. I know the culture's terrible. Listen. They were looking for these children so they, if it was a boy, they could raise them as a slave to work. And if girls, they would raise them to be prostitutes from just the little ones. Is that sickening or not, folks? So when you've come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you begin to transform the cultures in which you exist, because it's abnormal to live like that. What do you mean? You're telling us not to abandon our children. Think about it. Believers are to care for each other at every stage of life. It transforms things. It's so abnormal in a wicked and perverse generation of whom we might shine as a light. For instance, today's abandonment is really bad. We don't wait till they get born. They're slaughtered in the womb. It's my body, and if I want to, they call it abort my baby. That's my choice. No, that's actually murder. It's a choice to murder. What do you mean you don't get drunk on occasion? Doesn't everybody? You Christians are strange people. You did what? You gave your money to help somebody else struggling to meet their needs? Be faithful to one woman, a guy said to me. Pastor Long, how do you do that? Hey, listen, I don't know how. He said, I'm lusting after every woman I see. How do you be faithful to one woman? I said, by the grace of God. The younger women in Crete refused to get married and were enjoying their own selfish and immoral lifestyle. That's wicked. If you're going to have a sexual relationship with someone, male or female, you should be married. Or should you not be having sexual relationship? That's at any age. That's at any age. If you're going to honor God. And this is the point. We want to honor God. 1 Peter 4, 3 through 4. For the time past of our life may suffice us to work the will of the Gentiles, those who didn't know God. They walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, getting drunk, revelings, arguing and fighting, banquetings, overeating, and abominable idolatries, worshiping a false god. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. So when a pastor brings these things up and he preaches the word, some might think, boy, he's awful strange. And then they might think, I'd like to tell him what I think about that. Well, I know. But when you come to know Christ as your Savior, things begin to change. And this is why you can't have pleasure ultimately in sin anymore, because he dwells within. All God's people say, amen. Believing women growing in godliness over a continued period of time will display what is known as the beauty of holiness. Jan is a lady who gets a lot of things around here because she's the secretary. And she, you know, will text things back and forth, this and that, you know, keep things rolling, keep things moving. And so I gave her the title, and she says to me, thank you, Pastor. I'm looking forward to how I can improve. Well, Jan, you're doing a good job. I know, because you're married to Tom. Right, Tom? Just say amen right there. All right. Four certain things you should now know if you're going to be a older woman exercising the beauty of holiness. And believe me, that's the goal. They're too positive and they're too negative. Verse 3 again. The aged women likewise, just like you taught the men, teach the older women that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. This word holiness here means reverent. A sacred presentation. Their behavior is a sacred presentation. An attractive attitude. An upright demeanor. A way of carrying herself. In short, holiness. Holiness. It is known that she is a worshiper of the true God. Paul actually uses the negative pagan idolatrous practice to demonstrate what the positive is supposed to take place in believing women. The pagans would go into their temple of worship, worship their stone, wood, or carved imaginary god. They would get certain impressions as they were going into their worship of the false god who wasn't even there. And then they would try to, when they left, they tried to live out these impressions. Folks, in the Christian teaching, that's Christ inside of you. Philippians 2:12, you're saved. And Philippians 2:13, work out your own salvation as you meditate on the word. So you can see how pagan, which means they don't really know God, people try to accomplish spiritual things. But it's called spiritual blindness because they don't know the true God. It's the darkness in the culture. By the way, before we came to know Christ as our Savior, we weren't only in the darkness, we were part of the darkness. We're just walking through life as though God didn't exist. We didn't know the will of God. We really didn't care what the will of God was. Just doing our own thing. Well, folks, the most joyful people in life should be the older godly men. Older godly ladies ought to be second, close to that. Younger men and younger women who are serving and facing God in life. That's where joy comes from. Joy comes from Jesus Christ. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And even in the hardest of times, there's joy in their heart because they know God and they face God. They would take their babies and they'd place their babies as their first baby. They'd sacrifice on the stones in the courtyard. The sun would be so hot that their baby would be cooked alive. Say, oh, I don't want to hear this stuff. I'm just telling you the way it was. And so when women came to know Christ as their Savior, they would say, we're not doing that with our kids. And when you don't do something that the culture's doing, they think you're strange. But folks, we can't live like the culture. Culture's wicked many times. Today in America, the same name of, under the name of self-worship, women cook their babies on the inside instead on the outside. We haven't changed much, have we? We've slaughtered more innocents in the womb than we have in any wars all put together. Self-worship is actually satanic worship. Satanic deception is evident when love and respect are not being shown to any age. By the way, you better be voting for people who are pro-life if you're going to be a Christian. That's what Christians do. It has nothing to do with Republican or Democratic or independent. It has everything to do with Jesus Christ, and Christ is life. And God gives life, and we're not to be taking it. In fact, the Bible says if you take a person's life, your life is to be taken. If you really want justice, well, aren't we thankful for mercy too, folks? How many of us are glad we haven't got exactly what our sins have called for? Say amen. Amen. Thank God for the cross and mercy. He came to save us from our sins so we can rest in Him. A number of years ago, she's not here, hadn't been here in a while, so don't try to figure out who it is and don't ask me who it is. If you try to figure out who it is or ask me who it is, I'm going to get mad at you. Just letting you know ahead of time. Don't ask me who this is. I'm not going to tell you. It's none of your business, but we're going to use the illustration. One of our ladies years ago was 16 years of age, and she had a baby out of wedlock, and she had the baby killed because she was ashamed. You'd never figure out who she was, 16 years of age. Didn't want anyone to know. Didn't want her parents to know. Grandfather was a minister. Didn't want him to know. And years later, she came to know the Lord as her Savior. And I said to her, did you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you? She said, I did. I said, well, then you never have to mention this again because He washed you clean from your sins. That's the beauty of the gospel. I said, and by the way, she had the beauty of holiness all over. Beauty of holiness. And that sin that she committed and that Jesus saved her from, the penalty of it, kept her humble for years and years and years. And her face just shines with the glory of the cross even today. She's not here now. Hadn't been here in a while. You don't need to ask me who it is. That was years and years ago. How many are thankful for the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ? Say amen. Amen. Believers aren't to kill babies like the pagan women do. They're supposed to have babies to the glory of God. supposed to have babies in wedlock, not outside of wedlock. Don't want to make two mistakes, right? Yes or no? No. So if we're going to be ladies that are going to be becoming holiness or becoming have a becoming behavior, means they have returned to the place of worshiping God and have a prolonged record of carrying out the word of God preached in all areas of their life. Particularly, listen to this, they're particularly applying holiness to their husband and children. In contrast to the culture of Crete or any other dark culture, they want their family to worship the living God. That's how you know you have the beauty of holiness upon you. Titus is to tell the older men how to behave, time to grow up, take the lead in godliness in the family. He's to tell the older women how to behave. One lady said to me, "How old are you?" When I came in, I said, "I'm 38. And she said, "I got kids older than you." And she still got kids older than me because she's aged two since I did. And she said to me, "I wouldn't listen to my son telling me what to do." She said, "But I'm going to listen to you." I said, "Well, that's good, because I plan on preaching the Bible and I need to be listening too." A becoming behavior is one who carries out sacred duties. The demeanor, the carriage, the attractive attitude, movements, honest motivations, displaying the beauty of holiness. Colossians 3:23-24. "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord." That's how you can get along with any man. That's how you can get along with your children when they're not wanting to get along with you. You do it unto the Lord. "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. As becometh holiness," reverent means fitting for a believer, coming out of a dark culture. It's more than the externals. Older women know that. "These women have lived long enough to believe Proverbs 31:30 and 31. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates," that's in the city, in the place of commerce, in the place of buying and selling. In our day, be like going to Walmart, grocery store, the common places, holiness. Older women want to look nice for themselves and for their husbands, we all know that, but they're not relying on it for relevance. They've matured past that. Their esteem and soul satisfaction is that of being a child of the living God and serving Him in their life. Proverbs 11:22, I really like this one. "As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion." She looks good on the outside, but she's not good on the inside. Putting a gold diamond, a gold nugget on a pig's snout is a good-looking woman, but she doesn't have discretion. Wow. Those proverbs are really get down to the core of things, don't they? By the way, we're all a pig by nature. Just letting you know. And we need Jesus Christ. Let Him transform us. Used to be Nancy Lee DeMoss. Got some other last name now. Husband died. She remarried. Said this years ago. "Older godly women have come to the conclusion that if clothing doesn't complement our character, we should change." Wow. That's in the face of culture today. Proverbs 7:10, "There is an attire of a harlot." What does that mean? That means to dress in such a fashion with the intention of letting men know you are available for sex or to enjoy men lusting after you. Yikes. Somebody say yikes. Yikes. Practical advice, older ladies. Dress to please the Lord in the situation and your husband. That should make you feel pretty good about yourself and forget about everybody else. How do you like that one? Just a few of us, okay. Older godly women know life is more than fashion, figures, status, social fame. All of those things can be vain and empty. Don't be fooled by the externals. Listen to this one. Botox. Annual sales in the U.S. are over $1 billion now annually. One lady paid $1 million to get poochy lips. She said that make her more sexy. Poochy lips. Warning, here's a warning. Poochy lip disease is that reaction that takes place in your face when you don't get your way, and it can form at a very young age. Poochy lip disease. I remember what my dad used to do with poochy lip disease. He wasn't happy in the poochy lip business. You don't get your way, boom. You know. It's a sad case when you get older and have poochy lip. And then it's even sadder when you pay for poochy lips. Personally, I think... Oh, I'm really going to get in trouble now. Personally, I think when you got poochy lips and you highlight it with some crazy lipstick, you look like a clown to me. Now that everybody's turned me off, it's okay. I thought we came here to hear the word today. Well, we are. Well, we're talking about holiness of older women. And by the way, I'm not talking about a jean skirt down to the ankles and tennis shoes. And that's holiness? No, there's a lot more going on than that. Women need to be, by the way, listen up, wise men. Listen up. Women need to be honored not so much on the condition of their face, figure, or fashion, but the behavior of their faith. That's what the Bible teaches. So, there we go. We can have a little bit of fun with the other stuff. Hey, we know it. I made fun of the older men, those guys trying to be 20 years old or whatever. Fuzzy chest, crossed down to, you know, hanging right on the beer gut. Fuzzy dice, whatever it might be on the convertible. Trying to date some 30-year-old girl and he's 60. Well, you know, it's a joke. Grow up in godliness. Go toward God. Don't go away from God. And the same thing for older women. They have matured to a certain stage that a lot of foolishness has been cut out of their lives. And all God's people say, amen. Now the negatives. If you want to practice the beauty of holiness, you must not do certain things. Holiness of character is not falsely accusing the brethren. It's a big problem in natural women and sometimes even Christian women. But it's not a problem for older holy women. Revelation 12, 10 through 11. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto the death. This negative here in the Bible, Titus 2, 3, about those who are fitting of holiness, they're not false accusers, which means to be a malicious gossip. They are gossip blogs, gossip Facebook, gossip, gossip, gossip. Not being a malicious gossip. So that cuts out some claiming holiness when they're not acting in a holy fashion. Self-righteousness is usually displayed, listen to this, self-righteousness is usually displayed by malicious gossips that tear down others to raise their own misplaced desire for self-esteem. Because they have a low self-esteem, not looking at Christ, they'll then tear down other women so that they can raise themselves up. Look what I'm doing, look what they're not doing. Look what they are doing, and I'm not doing that. They're always comparing themselves amongst themselves, and they always come out on top, but they're not spiritually minded because you're told not to do that. This is sobering here. The masculine form of this word always refers to the devil himself. Here, it is a feminine word, not false accusers, and it literally means not to be acting like a she-devil. Boy, when's the last time you heard a message like that? Here comes a she-devil. One who's always gossiping about other people is acting like the devil. Older women who run other people into the ground may claim to be holy, but their reason and as their reason for doing so, but the Bible tells us another story. Don't you love it when you preach the Bible? It changes all of us. It's supposed to. Older godly women have to learn to pray for others in their weakness, instead of preying on them like a wolf. they've learned that. You know why? God, they got their own problems. They got their own sins to deal with. And they want other people to pray for them too. P-R-A-Y, not P-R-E-Y like a wolf. We can take people, bite into them, tear them apart, and leave them on the ground. But you know what? Our sins will do that for us. We don't even need other people. But we're to look to Jesus Christ to cleanse us from our sins. Galatians 5, 13 through 16, every now and then that starts working in a church. For brethren, we have not called in the, we've called in liberty, not only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Listen to this. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, which happens sometimes, take heed that ye be not consumed one another. I'm going to tear into you, chew you up, and spit you out. Take heed. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of your flesh. What's the lust of your flesh? I can't wait to give you a piece of my mind. Well, you might want to keep it. You don't have that much. You heard this. Supposed to be laughing at that, folks. I mean, it's okay. Somebody said, this is kind of a tough message. That last one last week on men, that just wore me out. But I got to tell you, it was good for me. The Bible does wear us out, doesn't it? Down to where we're just Christ and His righteousness, created in true holiness and the good works, where we don't want to sin. Satanic talk is always accusing someone of something or easily finding fault with others. It is a refusal to humbly admit one's own weaknesses, which are rarely or never mentioned. You got a lot of time talking about other people and their sins. You're probably covering up sin in your own life. That's what it means. That's the she-devil. A she-devil is one who's acting like the devil, who's always accusing other brethren. Wow. Do women talk more naturally than men? Now you're in trouble again. Hey boy, this message is going to go on a race. Harvard study. At lunch break, men and women talk about the same. While working, women talk a lot more than men. A man focusing on getting a job done seems to talk only about the job. A woman seems willing to talk about most anything while they are working together with other women especially. So they're a little bit freer. A man's got on his mind getting the job done, you know, A to B. But women have a tendency to talk more along the way as they're going. That's just difference in nature. Not right or wrong about either one. But ladies, because you do have that aptitude to be more free in your conversations, particularly with other women, you want to be talking in a fashion of holiness. God hates the wicked use of the tongue, especially lying, bearing false witness. Proverbs 6, 19, a false witness that speaketh lies, God hates. And he that soweth discord amongst the brethren, God hates that. Older godly women have learned to graciously hold their tongues when necessary. Proverbs 31:26, she opened her mouth with wisdom and her tongue is the law of kindness. Does that describe you? Can someone say that's true of you? They will if it is true of you. Some gracious older women now in heaven. Whew. Well, thank you, Pastor Ron. We just knew you were going to start calling out women in the congregation. I'm going to take it easy on you today. Ladies, let me hear an amen right there. Amen. Okay, great. Except for Jan, I've already picked on her. Sorry, Jan, I should have scratched that out of my notes. But it was good, right? Okay. Some gracious, older, godly women now in heaven. Doris Wheely. I go to visit Doris. She said, my husband is the most handsome man on the earth. I said, well, who's the second handsome man? She said, my pastor. I like that a lot. And then I think John told me, or Steve or something. She says, yeah, she says that about all us too, Pastor. Don't get All right, that's good. Vicki Dittamore. Oh, that song was great. Josh, Ham, and Kayla. These young people were so, I just thank God for them. Oh, your wife's so graceful. Oh, that. She's just complimentary. I remember what she said about Jeannie. Uh-oh, one's supposed to say. She said about Jeannie Russell, she's golden. Just what an attitude Vicki Dittamore. Oh, older godly women, holiness. Elaine Decker, I appreciate your clear dedication to the study of the Word, Pastor, and visiting me when I was sick. It's very kind of you. I take walks and I meditate on what you preached. Elaine Decker used to walk a couple miles a day. I take what you preached on Sunday, I just walk and I think about it all through the week. Wow. Joan Yost. Oh, I needed that. So it should come right after. Oh, I needed that sermon. Went right to my heart. Somebody tried to get me involved with complaining about something recently. I said, no, sir, that won't help me one bit. No, shh, no. Shh. That's what she did. No, shh. Like Donald Trump, Democrats. Shh, no. Shh. That's terrible, isn't it? Yes, sir. I got to lighten this message up some. Some of you are way too serious. It's okay. Barb Munsell. Dan, I love you, even though you say some of the silliest things at times. The Lord knew I really needed him in my life, Pastor. He told the funeral director that if I passed away, we wouldn't need the hearse to take her casket because he'd just use a pickup and save a few dollars. And Barb looked at Dan and said, Dan, would you please shut up? The director thinks you're serious. She said, you think that's all right to say, Pastor? I said, yes, Barb, I think that was just fine. You know, Barbara used to look at me and smile. She'd do that. Mm-hmm. Particularly if I was preaching about what men, you know, she'd go, mm-hmm. That's right. Pay attention, Dan. The beauty of older godly ladies, the beauty of holiness, older godly ladies. The Bible honors them. The culture doesn't. There's a sacredness about her entire way of life. There's an aura about her. There's a sweet demeanor about her, not going to be accusing others. She don't want to get involved in any of that. There's a noted sobriety. She's not enslaved to much wine. Look at this one. The next one in verse 3, not given to much wine. She doesn't bend the elbow as a way of life. She doesn't hug the bottle. She doesn't do that because she wants holiness in her life. That means she's not held against her will to alcoholic beverages or any harmful addiction. She walks in the Spirit on a regular basis and she doesn't need that mess. She walks in the grace of the Spirit. That's Spirit dependence. Over 90 billion alcoholic sales, $90 billion in alcoholic sales. 500,000 alcoholics in the United States between the ages of 9 and 12 years old drinking from their parents' alcohol. They're an alcoholic themselves. God can deliver us from these things. God can deliver us from these things. It might take some time, but God can take this away from us. Because he can change any life. God can do it. Number 4, these ladies apparently were given to wine before they came to Christ. That's the point. They're changed now. And then the 4th thing, they're teacher of good things. She's now growing more serious about teaching younger women. A sacredness about her whole life, a sweet demeanor about her. She has a noted sobriety, not addicted to anything. And number 4, she's serious about teaching younger women. Lady ministries are important, by the way. Every now and then Bonnie will come and say, Pastor, can we have money for this, money for that? I said, what do you need? We got all kind of ministries going around here. Little kids, teenagers, older people, widows lunch today and widower lunch. Every level there's some area of ministry. Ladies' ministries are important, particularly older women teaching the young, grace in action. Every now and then my wife will have a ladies' Bible study. In fact, they're in one right now. They're in the book of Titus, I think. I compared notes, but maybe I got it right. I don't know. We'll find. I see my wife down there marking a lot of stuff up, putting X's on things. I don't know. And my wife will have Bible studies for ladies because we love the ladies around here. all that can come. She's excited about when they come. And she says the same thing every time they have one. A year or something will go by and she'll say, oh, that just wore me out. I'm never doing another one. 6 months, a year. You think I ought to have another butt? Yep. Sure do. And for ladies that invest themselves in other ladies, that's a God thing. Teach means to bring younger women back to their spiritual senses. That's the look at the word. To bring younger women back to their spiritual senses. Why? Because younger women can drift in their sense. Here I am. This is a couple week message because next week is going to be a resurrection message. But here I am changing diapers. Nobody knows. I gain weight from the babies. Oh, and my husband wants my attention. I'm just worn out. What's to make sense of all these things? And that's where older women come in who've already been through that. Well, keep your sense about you, younger ladies. You want to be a holy woman. It's worth it. Your chief investment will be your husband and your children. That's the hardest place to serve God, is when no one else sees you. The world says, believe in yourself. Don't work with him. Get out and try something else. But the Bible says, believe in God. Titus, don't get too close to the younger women who are close to your age, by the way, very practical. Leave that to the older women, biblical psychologists. We might as well admit it. We all live in a culture that is addicted to self-love, and we can sometimes be inflicted with it ourselves. But it won't work to improve intimacy in a marriage. It won't work to promote a healthy family life. And it won't work to promote the self-sacrificing demands of church ministry. It won't work. Self-love won't work. Self-sacrificing love is how younger women can grow in the beauty of holiness like older women have practiced over the years. The older godly women have to appropriate the grace of God again and again and have They have displayed it again and again, primarily toward their husband and their children. That's the beauty of older godly women. That is, if they have a husband and children. If not, they display it in other relationships if they're older and godly women. That's the beauty of the older godly woman. She hopes that the younger godly women will desire and experience that for themselves. An older godly lady's advice: I promise you there'll be plenty of opportunities, young ladies, to demonstrate the beautiful, gracious, and self-sacrificing love of Christ as you serve your husband and children. There'll be plenty of opportunities for holiness there. Most people won't see it, but God does. And the beauty of holiness will be resting on you. Warning: the world will despise you for trying to manage your home and build a Christ-honoring family. They'll despise you for it. Why? Because they're not submitted to God. The Cretan women were looking for love in all the wrong places. But Paul instructs Titus to give the older women the responsibility to teach the younger women to maintain good godly sense. To teach means to discipline or disciple, both in a formal and informal setting and through conversations. We'll conclude with this wrap-up here, okay? The beauty of holiness in older women is displayed on them this way. There's a sacredness about their whole life. There's a growing and sweet demeanor as she progresses in age. She does not go around gossiping and accusing others. There's a noted sobriety about her. She's not addicted to any substance. Number four, she's serious about teaching young women to learn how to be godly themselves, particularly demonstrating holiness in their relationships to their husband and their own children. May the beauty of the Lord be seen in us all who have believed upon him, to the glory of God the Father. May we live out our inward faith in Jesus Christ. Work out your own salvation in every area of your life. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the older godly men in this church who remain faithful to you year after year. We can learn so much from them. We thank you for the older godly women, faithful to you, dear Lord. Young people need to take note and grow from them. It's good to have zeal when you have the knowledge of God as we're giving it out. And may Tabernacle Baptist Church be a place of holiness, created in righteousness and demonstrating true holiness in the heart and in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. If some of you have not trusted Christ as your Savior and you'd like to talk to me about it, I'll be right down here in the front. God bless you. You are dismissed.